I want to pray to start with. I have a prayer in here a little later, but I want to pray to start with because I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that your presence come down right now, Lord. Send your angels. May the Holy Spirit be present. Be present in this service. May we quiet our hearts. May we lift them up to you, Lord, and may this be a word that brings glory and honor to you. And may it tickle our ears to hear your words. And may it react and make us change, become closer to you. Amen. I started out with wanting to look at making sure that we're prepared to hear a sermon. How many times do we come to church not prepared? Myself. And do we take a chance to look at the bulletin? Because there might be something so important in that bulletin that we need to look at it even before the service. So we might need to get here a little earlier to read the bulletin to see, is there someone that needs prayer? Is there someone that needs encouragement? And the other part is I want to make sure sometimes you have two pens on you. Because I do see people taking notes, and I would be feeling really bad that if one pen ran out, they didn't have a backup ready. And you should be taking notes. So if the pastor preaches something that is not clear, that you note it down to check on the pastor to see, was that really from the Word of God? I see people are raising out that they do have two pens. Maybe one's a red one to underline spots. But looking at that, are we prepared? And do you bring your Bibles? Now you see that Pastor John doesn't always have a Bible with him, but I do. I truly do. It's electronic. And that way I find not only do I have my Bible here in church, but I have my Bible wherever I am. Now, how many of you are excited to learn something today? Because that's why you come to church and listen to a sermon, I want you to know. You want to learn something? Come on, if I don't have all the hands up there, I may go out and shake you a little bit, Amanda. Okay, she's got her hand up. Because we should be excited to learn from the Lord. Now, who's writing the book that I'm going to be preaching from? 1 John. Who wrote 1 John? Now, how do you know it's John for sure? Does it come right out and say it? My Bible tells me. That's true. There's commentaries that tell us. But the author never really comes out and says, this is John. But we can learn from writings of the genre and the times that people write a certain way. Dan Pumala was helping me write a paper. And he looks at this and he goes, that kind of doesn't look like you're writing. And somebody else helped me with that paper just earlier and found out that, yeah, that person wrote a little bit more like he did. So the scribes have sometimes change the format or the way the person writes. But the writings show that even the early church seen that John wrote 1, 2, and 3. And no one has looked at that and said that it isn't John. But sometimes we really get to know the author. How many people really know John? Because we're going to be preaching through John for a while. How many of you really know John? How many knew that John was the cousin, a first cousin of Jesus? There's people that did know that. How many people knew that John was a young man walking with Jesus? And he was one of the closest of the three closest. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said to John, take care of Mary. We need to know these things so that we know who is writing to us, how the letter's coming to us. And it's coming from an eyewitness that actually has seen Jesus, walked with Jesus, sat with Jesus, and even cried with Jesus. One that has seen the wounds, an eyewitness. And he addresses the children. At that time, when you would write and you were older, you had the authority to tell others that you were like children. And that time would show that he had the authority, being an older man at this time. We were thinking about the book was written between the 60 and 85 AD, that he was an older man that had the authority and power to speak this. And the relationship. Sometimes people will tell us that they knew somebody. I know Dan Pumala. I could probably tell you things about Dan Pumala to people that have never met him. Now, if I tell a story to someone and then they go tell the story, we've all heard the game, as things change, it's best to get it right from the eyewitness. We're getting it right from John. And why was he writing these things? He was writing these letters to help us see false teachers. Because false teachers are amongst us. We live in a world that you can hear the word of Jesus Christ just changed a little. And by that little change can have you walk away from the Lord. False teachers. But also to talk about salvation. Jesus is real. We have witnesses that talk about the time of Jesus that have nothing to do with Christianity. The calendar has changed from AD to BC. And now they're changing it the way it is because they don't like the words. The Bible was changed for that reason. Times changed. Jesus came. But America is changing things and watering it down so that we, as Christians, sometimes can be misled. So let's pray before I read the Word of God that we can open our ears and understand. I seen this picture of the hands praying. And have you ever seen a little one when they pray? You'll say, let's pray, and the little kids will put their hands together. They're prepared. Are you prepared to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask as I read your word, Lord, that you have grace and mercy on me as I read. And as we hear your word, may it not go away void at all, Lord. May your word indwell in us, change us, and help us do what you've called us to do. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, the print is too small for me, so I'm going to my electronic device that has the Word of God on it. If you would like to open your Bible, 1 John 1 is where we'll start. I'm glad to see that you've all turning in pages, or even Doug with his electronic device. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have held concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Amen. The Word of God. This is the piece I'm preparing to preach. Are we feeling fulfilled with God? Do we understand the joy? In Sunday school, It was really neat because we started talking about this. Francis Chan was teaching us that we are called to go out and tell others. Have we ever had that nudge? Tell that person about Jesus. Or pay that person's coffee, as KTAS might say. Or David gave a great explanation when he said he felt that he was to go there and help that person put groceries in their car. You feel joy when you're doing what God has called you to do. The beginning. It starts out in the beginning. John wants us to know that word. And it's so important because when I studied and I look, that word is spoken or unspoken or even thought of. That word was known by the Jews to fully understand what God wanted them to understand. The Jews would know that that is a greater power and being. And the Gentiles understood the meaning as well. Because the governing authority had the beginning and the last say. John wanted both the Gentiles and the Jews to understand. In the book of John, now remember we're studying 1 John right now, but let's go back to the book of John. He wrote in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We see the similar writings. In Genesis, we actually see that in Genesis, we see the beginning where God made us, and when He said it, in our image. Are, meaning Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. We are made in the image. Are we gods? No. Let's be clear, we are not gods. But we're like God. And when we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, we see God in us in the things that we do. This was meant for the Jews and the Gentiles. Looking at confirming that God is the beginning and the end. And Jesus, His Son, is with Him. John 14:6. And we look at that spot in John, and it talks about, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and Him are one. John says, "I have seen, I have felt the wound. I have testified." Jesus is real. And some of them still had doubts. Blessed are those that have never seen and believe. That's us. But I know that John loved God so much that he wouldn't mislead us. He wanted to share that joy. And he was willing to die for it along with the other disciples. Who would die for a lie? Much less a greater man. They were willing to die. John was clear. As he heard, seen, looked at, and touched. Who knows what the three dots are? When you read in the Jewish book, what do the three dots stand for, Andy? There's more to say? No. Actually, I was shocked. I apologize, Andy, that I picked on you. The three dots stood for God. For the word to say God, or to speak the word, was so great that they used the represent of the three dots to represent the word of God. So he has heard, seen, looked at, touched. You've heard me use the analogy before. If I heard where there was gas for 99 cents and it was unlimited, I could have plenty for myself. Would you share that with a friend? Because you care about them? Of course you would. 99 cents. And you know what? There's no way. We'd all go there and get it. Well, I got something even better than 99 cent gas. It's salvation. And it's what Jesus has given to us to share. John is proclaiming eternal life that we can have through Jesus Christ and be returned to the Father. So we need to know the source of life, which is God. And we need to know of eternal life and accept it. Even the demons know of Jesus Christ. But we have the ability to accept Jesus and have that personal relationship. We get grafted in. I did a little more studying because I wanted to understand what grafting really was about. And it's about changing and coming up with a new type of fruit. And we are grafted in the glory of God. The original was the Jews, and the Gentiles are being grafted in. Sometimes it's good to see word pictures, and I want to see a word picture. Are we in? Are we at the dinner table with Jesus Christ? Have we accepted Him? If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, please don't leave here without having that personal relationship. If you are wondering, you can always rededicate yourself. Because you shouldn't go away wondering. Are you in? And if you are in the family, it is written that we should have joy. And you know what? We talked in our Sunday school this morning. We talked about different times that we shared the faith. And I didn't hear anybody say that they shared the faith and they went away sad and angry and felt misled. What I heard was every person that shared the faith and shared the good news of Jesus Christ walked away with joy. Amen? Doug's going to be going on a missions trip. I guarantee when he comes back, he might be tired, he might be worn out, but he'll have joy. Joy of going to do God's work. I'll give you a little story here that's not part of my routine here. The routine meaning, I think I'm doing pretty good today. I was out changing tires, and I've told this story to the Sunday school and a few others. And as I was changing tires, somebody noticed I had a Bible in my car. Not my electronic Bible, a real Bible. And he asked me, am I a priest? And I said, no, I'm not a priest, I'm a pastor. And knowing that he asked me as a priest, I knew he was Catholic. Because that's language that they would use. And we started talking about Jesus Christ. And he wanted to know more. And as he's changing my tires, the guy on the next machine over started asking me, well, I'm Lutheran. Can you marry people? And I said, yeah, I can talk about that sometime. We can talk about that. But as we were talking about the Lord more, and we started getting things. Now, all of a sudden, this tire place that was completely empty had six more cars waiting for these two gentlemen. And these gentlemen wanted to talk about the Lord. And as the people are standing there waiting, they're hearing. God makes appointments. Are you willing to be at them appointments? This isn't just for a pastor. This isn't just for people that have walked with Jesus. We are all called to Matthew what? 28:19. I'm hoping that I hear that more from you guys. Because that's what we're called to do. Do we personally take time to make friendships? Do we feel that joy that missionaries feel? Because you want to know, me and John were talking down there. I told him, he tried to decide when he was in college, do I become a missionary? What do I become? I hate to tell each and every one of you, you are missionaries. You do not have to go outside the church. Sometimes you could be a missionary within the church caring for somebody in the body. Sometimes you can be a missionary around the local city. That's how we become a church of light. That's how we become a church that serves our community by caring for them. Some of us are called to go overseas. And when we go overseas and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, we should be prepared to do what? After they accept Jesus Christ, prepare to bless them with baptism. So that they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we see in this picture, we look at their baptizing and the whole group comes together. You know, some of the best services that I've seen where we have new guests come into the church is at a baptism. Because they are so proud of their faith that they invite others. And then, when we are called home, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'll be on my feet. I don't know if I'm going to be sitting, kneeling. I don't know if I'll be laying, but I guarantee I'll be crying. When my Lord and Savior says to me, "Good job, my faithful servant. Good job, my faithful servant." I'll be in tears. Because for me, affirmation means a lot. And to hear from my Father, and to hear from Jesus Christ, "Good job, my faithful servant," is when I know that I've done what I've been called to do. My question to you as a body, what do you take away from this sermon? Each and every sermon you should take something away from. For that's why you go to church. To be with God. To hear the Word of God spoken. And don't be shy to open the Word of God during the week. But what did you take away? That's what I would like you to think about and pray just for a second here. Before I call the band to come up and lead us in worship. But think. And when you feel that in your heart, that what God has given you, now act on it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I thank you that the Holy Spirit was here and I felt that I am not alone. May each and every one of us have something on our heart. May the Holy Spirit help us walk through. Walk through and prepare our hearts to do what you put on it. And may we feel the joy that only you can give, Father, for doing your will. I pray this for our body. Amen.